This is CliffCentral.com.
What's happening? Yeah. Hang on, I've got to log into something so I can get your messages. Hang on. I'll be with you in a second, just amuse yourself. What's happening? Good morning, Ben. Good morning, Mubs. Good morning, Sia. Good morning, Amanda. Good morning to you, and especially to you. Yes, here we are. We're live. It's Tuesday, and we're well into September already, the 5th of September. All right, so there seems to be quite a lot of smearing about poor old Cyril in the news.
Yeah.
Yes, these guys do not hold back when they want to take you down, huh? Mm. They will resort to the dirtiest, filthiest tricks they can. I mean, remember, all of these allegations about him being a blesser and him having affairs and all of this stuff, and he's admitted to some of the things in terms of having an affair and everything. I mean, you can imagine how hard that is. He's got kids.
Mm.
He's got a wife who's such a dignified woman, and she has to be dragged into this shit. And just remember that the party alleging all of this, the side of the argument that is saying, hey, we've got some secrets on Cyril, is the side that supports Nkosi Sanat Dlamini Zuma, whose husband, who's our current president, not only admitted to, you know, sleeping with one of his friend's daughters, who was not his wife or girlfriend, while he was married to other women, and had a child with her, and who has been accused of inter alia rape and fraud. He still became president.
Mm-hmm.
And Cyril's a bad. We're meant to believe Cyril's a bad guy. We're meant to believe that this stuff somehow makes Cyril look terrible. And all we know about Nkosi Sanat Dlamini Zuma is that she's clearly run out of steam. She's just run out of meaning, run out of purpose. She's talking about all the stuff that's already been discredited, this white monopoly capital stuff, which, by the way, the Belt Pottinger story that came out this morning, they've been kicked out of that PR company, that PR association that they're a part of in Britain. They say it's the harshest sentence that body has ever given to a member. And that whole argument's been dismantled, but somehow Nkosi Sanat Dlamini Zuma is still running around the country trying to. She's got a few weapons left that don't even have a sharp edge. Her first weapon is, I'm a woman, and we haven't had a woman before, so why don't we try that? Which is not a great place to start.
Well, that worked for Hillary, didn't it?
Yeah, it went really well for Hillary. Then she's got the white monopoly capital thing. I hear Musubenzi Zwani running around saying, oh no, well, the mines will only truly be free when the workers own the mines. Oof. I mean, this is like 1918 in Soviet Russia. That side is so bereft of any kind of sensible argument. It's just madness. So imagine if we end up with this government, because clearly they have no position in Nkosi Sanat Dlamini Zuma's administration. No position on anything important. Purely, let's do whatever it takes to stay in, because actually our real job is to keep this current president out of jail. That's our whole job.
Well, it really is just an extension plan of what's currently in power.
Yeah, correct. So
it is.
So don't expect anything to start with. Sean Abraham, has anybody heard of him yet? I mean, how many weeks has it been? We haven't heard a peep out of him.
Maybe he's on holiday and we just are not aware. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Probably
he's on leave.
The longest holiday in the world. I want to know how to get that job. I'm applying for NPA. I'm sure I can get it. Sean Abrams doesn't really have many qualifications. He doesn't seem to be able to apply the law properly. I evidence the case against Praveen.
But as far as people having affairs in politics, I mean, at this stage, that is such a That's like politics 101.
Yeah.
There has to be a sex scandal.
Right.
And somebody has to get smeared.
In fact, you can't be a politician unless there's a sex scandal, right?
No.
No one's going to take you seriously in politics if you don't have a sex scandal. Anyway, yeah.
How sad that statement is.
Yes.
That is the norm.
Well, you know that this is...
I mean, look at any country you like, really.
This is National Marriage Week, by the way.
Oh.
Oh, sorry, I shouldn't be so cynical.
How are we meant to celebrate that?
I think if you're married, maybe you do something extra special with your husband or wife.
Okay.
But for those of us who are not married, I don't think anything is required of us. No.
I think it's one of those things where they're going to try and tell us about the virtues of marriage and all that stuff, which is fine. I think that marriage is great. I think marriage is a terrific institution, and I think it works for a lot of people. I know loads of happily married people.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who've been married for many years and are delighted that they made that decision. And I know lots and lots of people who don't want to get married, who think that it's an unnecessary and outdated institution, and they're entitled to that opinion too. And there isn't a right or a wrong, because it all depends on the individual.
But is there like a central board or organization that decides when it's Marriage Week or Black Cat Appreciation Day or Women's Month? Like, who makes this official?
I think it just gets thrown together. It's like they decide we need a week for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like some organization or institution or whatever it is decides we need a week for this. And then they just find something on the calendar. Because every week's been taken, right?
Yeah.
And every month has been taken by something. And every day is commemorative of something. And then they just decide, okay, that's a good one. But there's nothing wrong with Marriage Week. And I think that marriage should be an institution that we protect and uphold wherever we can. Where I get annoyed is that when people who think that marriage is something only they have got right, where they try and tell everybody else how to do it, and where they try to prohibit marriage for people who they don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I get upset. Like, if you think marriage is a good thing, then you think marriage is a good thing for everyone. That includes the gays, and includes the transgenders, it includes the interracial marriages, it includes all of that stuff. So you can't be a marriage exclusivist and go, well, my husband Ralph and I have got marriage right, but everyone else gets it wrong, so it's only for us. Right? And you can't be one of those people who believes that marriage is a religious thing, because it isn't. There are many different religions. Some of them have a certain value for marriage, and others have a different value for marriage. So if you're going to bring religion into it, you're going to complicate your own argument. It is a secular institution. It's what it is it's incorporation.
Mm.
You're incorporating business together. You're going, okay, we're going to start a company called Us Inc., and we're going to have children inside that company. They're going to be funded by the company. We open up a joint account.
That does not sound sexy or romantic.
You're the CEO, I'm the COO, or we're both joint CEOs or whatever.
Oh, no.
And these are going to be the roles. This is your job description, this is mine. I'm telling you that's what it is. And if you don't write it down like that, it's not going to work. People who we got married, we fell in love, and then we got married.
Yes.
Yes, Gareth, that's
I got swept off
how it
my
usually
feet.
Works.
No, but to actually make the decision to incorporate without actually writing it all down and paying attention to the detail and what's your exit strategy.
Oof.
If it goes wrong, you know, I'm not saying it's going to go wrong, but you have to have an exit strategy.
Yeah, but some people don't even want to think that way. They don't want to think about the exit strategy, yeah.
That sentence is just a few words too long. They don't want to think. Is that, honestly... That is the big problem with a lot of people in the world, is that people don't want to think. It's too much hard work. Think about it. It's much easier to just take one of those off-the-shelf answers.
Mm.
Let's get married. Or, I heard this thing on the television the other day. That's my opinion. Or, let me think of a good example. Musa Benzizwani is saying... The workers must own the mines.
Yeah.
That's an off-the-shelf answer. He didn't think about that. I don't think that guy's lying in bed at night going, now, if that happened, what would happen to ownership? What does that mean for property rights? What does it mean for the mine's productivity? Who's going to be in charge? Is it going to be some kind of anarcho-syndicalist commune? How are they going to put this together? What are the basic tenets of, you know, of practice in this mine? Because they're going to be workers, they're going to be bosses. Are the workers going to be the bosses? And then who's going to work? He's not thinking about that. He saw that ready-made answer, probably on a pamphlet, because I don't think he's ever read a long book, and then decided that's my answer. And you see this with people in relationships, and you see it with people with their children. They're like, you can't do that, little Johnny. And little Johnny goes, why? And they go, because I told you so. That's an off-the-shelf answer. I told you so. It's a terrible answer to give a child. Because I said so. I'm the boss. I'm bigger than you.
But that's all a lot of us heard.
It's a bad answer.
Because
and you know what?
Fun stuff.
If we'd heard decent answers, we might have been more curious. And we would have started thinking earlier on. And then we wouldn't just jump to textbook answers. Right?
Thought you would have said that we would have been more decent.
I thought, well, we probably would have that too. Because you interrogate stuff. You don't take anything at face value. And honestly, I think that a lot of people just want easy answers. It's hard to think. It burns a lot of energy. They've figured out that the brain working at optimum capacity burns way more energy.
People are so scared to have something
that's physical exercise.
They're so scared to have an answer that could be controversial or wrong or not accepted by the masses.
Yeah.
They're really, really worried about that.
That's the biggest concern is, oh, what will everybody else think about what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't disagree with you. I just think that that's a very lame way to live. You're living for other people and their approval. And like, I do get the impression there are politicians who just really want to be liked. Bill Clinton was like that. And I think Donald Trump is a bit like that. He really does just want people to like him. He thought going into politics, the ultimate popularity contest is the presidency. So that's what he was testing himself. He was like, I'm going to do this because I want to be popular. And now I think he's dealing with, whoa, there's actual work.
Oh.
And yeah. And oh no, I have to worry about things. I mean, the guy, you watch how even a total narcissist like Donald Trump, who keeps saying how, you know, great everything is, you watch how horribly he ages. And remember, this is a man in his 70s.
Lest we forget.
Barack Obama took over as president in his 40s. You've got a lot more energy in your 40s than you do in your 70s. Just watch how this takes its toll on Donald Trump, because that job is tough, even if you don't know how tough it is when you're in it. It takes a major toll on your health, on your appearance, on your general demeanor. This guy's, I hope for his sake, he makes it through his first term. Let alone a second one.
Yeah, Obama grayed extremely quickly after assuming the role.
Yeah. Go look at pictures.
Think about that.
Look at pictures of the last four presidents and see how. And remember, if we say four presidents, we have to include Ronald Reagan, right? Because, George H.W. Bush. So George H.W. Bush was a fairly old man when he took over, but he came out and he was really old. Bill Clinton went in. Bill Clinton looks like he has been attacked by crows.
But why does he look worse now?
Because he's been living with Hillary.
Yeah.
Than he did after the White House. Oh, Monica was also there, you see.
Well, that might have rejuvenated him a little. That didn't do the opposite.
Because now he looks worse.
And then George W. Bush. I mean, when he went in, a lot more women in America thought he was good looking than Al Gore. Do you remember that? There was a poll held. I don't know whether you agree or not, but that was the... When he finished his term, he was gray, he was tired, and he doesn't want to be in public anymore. He goes and you see him once in a blue moon when he isn't on his ranch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've got Barack Obama, as Mubs says, he went so gray, quickly. This Donald Trump, you know, if you ever want to throw yourself into the fires, you become president.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it's a tough business.
Ooh, Melania Gell, askisiyo.
Yeah, she thought she was married to an old man when she married him. Now she's going to be married to an even older man. You know, I was thinking about like how when men have money, how women will, some women, not all, some women will say, I just want to look after him. He's a sweet old man. He looks after me. He's so good to me. He's so respectful. They'll use any kind of excuse, but he could be the grossest guy in the world. And you just know that if he didn't have money, there wouldn't be a chance that that girl would even look at him.
Yeah.
Of course,
I know that's fine, because everybody has their motivation. There are a lot of men who will only date a woman because she's pretty. She might be a total bimbo. And there are men who will date women because they're rich. And that's okay, whatever your motivation is.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about these guys. I was thinking about, like, you've seen that guy, Rupert Murdoch, right? Who owns Fox News and a bunch of newspapers in England. And he's a billionaire. He's a really rich guy. But he's just a horrible-looking old creep. And you think there's some young woman who's married to him.
Mm.
You reckon she has got to, like, get the chills every time at night they're sitting there at dinner. I mean, he might even take her to the nicest restaurant in the world every other night. They might have fun. He says to her, oh, you know, you could go, honey, let's go to my tropical island. And she goes, oh, that'll be great. But every night, she knows she's got to get into bed with this leathery, old, wrinkly, liver-marked, just this gross guy, you know? I feel so bad for her.
Do you know who it is?
Mm.
It's Jerry Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, who used to be married to Mick Jagger.
Yeah. Oh, she does the rounds. Yes, girl.
Yeah. Well, she likes them old.
She's a 61 86.
I mean, she's 61, so that's maybe not even the best example, because that is still, I mean, if you're in your 60s and you're dating an 80-year-old, that's like a 40-year-old dating a 20-year-old.
25 years.
The smart thing to do would be to, you know, make it seem as though you are trying out different things to your old husband.
Like?
Like, hire women to come and sleep with him, like a different woman every time he wants to. No, because then you're like, oh, I'm spoiling you, and yeah, like, let's do this whole open marriage business. And then you don't have to be on the roster so often.
Right.
Because every other day or night,
that leathery
there's
roster.
There's a new woman coming through the revolving door.
All right, here's a better example, because that age gap isn't so big. Mick Jagger is expecting his eighth child. He's 72.
My gosh, when he had the seventh, we were all saying that was gross.
He's 72. Listen to this. His girlfriend is 29.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see those.
His, his girlfriend is probably... she's younger than a lot of his children, probably.
43-year difference.
Hi, guys, but excuse me. We humans are very creative creatures. If I just close my eyes, I don't think of see or feel Mick Jagger anymore.
When Mick Jagger was my age, he still had 3 years to go before his girlfriend would be born.
Woo! Yeah. Woo! Think about it like that.
Ah, how's that for something to think about this morning? I had a customer once that told me rich old men that have young women on their arms, they stand tall on their wallets. That's what Michelle says. Yeah, that's true. And I do love all these girls on Instagram, and you could see it, who are on yachts, and you know, they're living these amazing lives, and you know that they don't have any money, because they don't. There's nothing going on there. They just, their whole life is just holidays, and you just know what they're doing to get on those yachts,
or who they're doing.
That's what I mean.
Those trips to Dubai, man. Those trips to Dubai get interesting.
Morning, y'all. Listening live for the first time in a long time. Normally just download a podcast. And Lubabalo says, I'm at Build listening to you. But they're playing some horrible radio station in the background and they sound revolting. Yes, this radio is bad. Well, I haven't listened, to be honest, for the longest time. I don't know what's going on in radio. I don't know who's doing shows. I know that all the morning shows, every single morning show on every major commercial station in South Africa is less than 6 to 8 months old. They've had less than 6 to 8 months of experience. So they can't be any good by definition, even if they're people who've been experienced in other parts of radio. Mornings are completely different. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're all dropping in the ratings. Look, radio is just losing, full stop. We know that. You can just look at the figures. But I don't know how it works. Like, I'm not sure whether management have lost their minds because, or whether there's just a lack of talent. That I honestly don't know. So I've left that in the past. I'm not even paying attention to radio like I used to. You remember, Mubs, we used to look at ratings every 4 to 5 months. It was like our report card.
Yeah, but I mean, even how ratings were conducted was always questionable.
Yeah, it's insane. There was almost completely made up. It was these people would go out with clipboards. Did you ever fill in a ratings diary?
Mm-mm.
They once came to me when I was living in my flat in Morningside, and they gave me a ratings diary. You have to fill in over a period of 7 days what you eat, what you drink, what you listen to, what you watch. And then they would obviously take that and they'd say, well, according to Gareth's age and his level of income and all that kind of thing, there must be X number of people like Gareth. So they multiply my survey by 1,000. So if I'd said I'd had 6 Cokes that week, they would say, oh, well, anybody in his LSM, his lifestyle standard measure, is drinking 6 Cokes a week. That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
What if someone was drinking 23 Cokes a week? What if someone was drinking none?
Mm.
That's not useful research, is it?
Now they just get it from our internet.
Yeah, but that at least is accurate. I mean, I agree that it's invasive.
That's scary. Yeah,
it's very invasive, but it's accurate. Anyway, I see that Zapiro is back at it because he's done an excellent cartoon. And by the way, we'll get to the 5 things you need to know today in a moment. But this is great. The alternate universe cartoon that he just did now. And by the way, aren't you sick of these little pop-ups whenever you go into a site? I noticed Wikipedia is doing this now.
Mm.
Have you noticed it?
Mm-hmm.
You go into Wikipedia.
What's Wikipedia asking you now?
They're asking you for money.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're saying yes. If everyone gives 30 Rand, then we'll never ask for money ever again.
We're not going to give you 30. Get out of here.
Nope.
You've been running just fine. And in any case, Wikipedia, you didn't write all those articles. They've been submitted by ordinary people. Are you going to make money out of all of us? Anyway, so in compliance with SARS August 31 deadline, the Guptas disclosed billions in illegally acquired offshore assets. In Parliament today, President Jacob Zuma admitted to criminal cronyism and pledged to step down. The NPA and the Hawks apologized for harassing former finance ministers and began prosecuting Zuma and the Guptas. Imagine, pigs will fly. It's totally unrealistic. It'll never happen. That's kind of the alternate universe cartoon.
Oh.
He's also done a Cyril one. Cyril doesn't look good in cartoons, hey? It's like 90% nose in a cartoon. Have you seen that? Bad. It's really bad. Anyway, so we've got to get to the 5 things you need to know to start your day. We'll get to Ben's sport. We'll get to Sia's said by Sia, and we'll get to Anthea's money. Let's do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. First, what you need to know this morning is that the news is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Every Italian-inspired dish Colcacchio serves is so much more than just a meal. It is their fresh, selectively sourced ingredients and the innovation vision of the founders, brought to life by their passionate team in every single Colcacchio's and Mio Colcacchio's across South Africa. There are over 35 branches all over South Africa, and you can go to any one of those today and get yourself the finest in Italian food. Over to you, Mabs.
The magic number is 5, Gareth. And
again?
As we know, our president really loves the number 5.
He does love that number.
But that is the number of years that Bell Pottinger have been banned by the Public Relations and Communications Association. Yes, it is the most serious sanction in history to the UK-based... There you go.
There are 5, only 5. Mm-hmm. There are 5.
Yeah, we get it. Thank you, Mr.
President. So they've been banned for 5 years. It follows a complaint back in July by the DA that Bell Pottinger had helped the Guptas sow racial division in South Africa. Its members of the UK umbrella body have also all been terminated with immediate effect. So yeah, the magic number is 5.
So if Bell Pottinger gets sanctioned, how about the Guptas?
Well, that is the question that I see a lot of people have been asking.
Yeah.
They're saying, great, now let's go after the Guptas and the Zumas, or the Zuptas, if you want to, you know, just simplify your life. Yeah, so, but I mean, you know, with Sean Abrams in charge.
Yeah, it's like you ask the question, if the banks don't want their money, their money's bad. If they funded a PR company that did bad things, their intentions, there's no good here.
No. You should be punished for that.
You mean you should have like 101 makes get in jail?
Well, there might be a little bit of good coming ahead. A new poll suggests that our economy may be heading out of its technical recession.
Oh, halala.
Statistics South Africa are preparing to release the GDP data for the second quarter, but a Reuters survey of 20 economists all predicted that there is a likely expansion of 2.3% between April and June. The new data suggests that stronger retail sales may have helped be the turning point. Economists are optimistic, and they have said that the worst may be over for South Africa's economy. Wouldn't that be great news?
That would be fantastic news.
We need some good news. You know, it's September. It's been a hard, 9 months? Like, we need something to just end off the year in a more positive way. South African Airways could soon drastically be reducing or stopping entirely their routes to the Eastern Cape, with the possibility that they may no longer be flying there. And this is all part of staying financially viable. Its turnaround strategy has pilots, airports, as well as local businesses concerned. Last week the airline said that it would be introducing network changes on its regional and domestic routes. The changes are part of the airline's implementation of its newly developed 5-year corporate plan that seeks to return the company to financial stability. So Mango are the airline that will be picking up the slack. They confirmed its role in the planned changes. So say, for example, SAA no longer flies to the Eastern Cape, then Mango are going to be the guys picking up that slack, yeah.
Isn't that just shifting it around, because it's still a cost center for Mango?
Well, I don't know. They have outlined this as part of a 5-year development plan. So it is an interesting strategy. But yeah, a lot of pilots have already spoken out saying that, you know, well, they're just a little bit nervous about this whole thing, possibility of routes being grounded. So it just has them a little bit concerned.
All right. I won't hold my breath.
All right. Do you know how it is that you are, or that people aren't able to block you on Facebook? Because you can block anybody, right? Seemingly.
Yeah.
You'd think, oh, well, if this person is irritating me, then I'll block them and then they'll disappear from my timeline.
Right.
Well, you can't block Mark Zuckerberg or his wife on Facebook.
Of course not.
It comes as no surprise to learn that the creator has plenty of followers on his own platform. In fact, over 95 million people that follow Mark Zuckerberg on Facebook.
I don't follow him.
You may wish to block him, though, because, you know, he could suddenly start appearing on your profile, in your feed, and you think, oh no, not this guy again.
Like when he runs for office one day, he's going to be spamming us all with
sex. Yeah,
no. Endless ads. That is the time, by the way, to get the hell off of Facebook.
However, there is a reason behind it, and this is where it gets interesting, because I didn't know this. It's because too many people have already tried to block him. So similar to the limit which is placed on having 5,000 friends on Facebook, once an account has received too many blocks, it becomes an unblockable account. According to the spokesperson of Facebook, they say this error isn't specific to any one account. It's generated when a person has been blocked a certain large number of times. And in very rare instances, a viral campaign will develop instructing lots of people to all wrongly block the same person. And then what you're inevitably doing here is making that person unblockable, which means that they will always appear in your timeline.
That sounds like something I would want to do.
And then Priscilla Chan, Mark's wife, equally has also been subjected to heavy blocking. And as a result, you are not able to block her either. But yeah, there's apparently a whole list of people that you can't block on Facebook. And it's because of this.
I wonder who had to break the news to him and how he took it. Like, maybe was it at a status meet, Mr. Zuckerberg, you've been blocked 5 million times.
Well, I can tell
people
you.
People don't like you.
I'll tell you what happened, because I've been to Facebook, all right? They're all complete sycophants around there. They run around him like he's some kind of god. And I remember we arrived on the Facebook campus and they were showing us around. Very nice people. Mm-hmm. You know, they mean well. They obviously do their jobs. And, you know, it's a staff of some 4,000 people worldwide now. So it's a big company. It's also valued at a fortune.
Jeez.
But Mark wasn't around on that day, and they were talking about him like he's someone with superpowers. The one woman said, "Oh my God, we were sitting right here," and you know they give you free lunch and whatever it takes to keep you on the campus. In yeah. inverted commas, campus means the workplace because they need you to work, slave. So they'll feed you. They'll put in a gym. They'll put somewhere for your children to go so that you don't have to put them into a creche somewhere else so that you can work extra time. They'll put in little beds. So if you need a nap and you need to work through the night, there's somewhere for you to... It's basically... They're trying to make it really nice so that they can get even more out of you. In other words...
Which is the way the world works, though.
As long as you're there and you're working, they'll make sure that you're looked after. Anyway, she points at this one of the three or four restaurants on the campus where they give you free food. She points like this and she goes, "Oh my God, the other day I was sitting like right there and Mark was like right there." So I looked at this woman. I'm like, this is an adult human being in her 30s. You're talking about your boss. What's going on here?
Well, he's also a celebrity, Gareth. And you know how people lose their minds over celebrities.
But she works on that campus every day. She must see him a lot if he's there doing his job.
Well, that's how Sierra was with you for like 2 years.
Nonsense.
And imagine if Mr. Gary Player had to come into this room right now.
If Gary Player came in here,
Ben would wet his pants.
He'd need a diaper change.
We all would. No. Why do you always make it like it's just me?
No. Really got to clarify
you guys,
that.
You guys with your strange standing jokes.
Okay. Right, I just tried to block Mark Zuckerberg and I can't, so it's true. Shit. I tried. Verified profile. Let me see here. Okay, I'm not following him.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can block him. Send message, photos, friends, interest. Let me see if I have any mutual friends with Mark Zuckerberg. That would be funny. We couldn't find anything for Mark Zuckerberg's friends. Okay, so he doesn't allow you to look up his friends. But there is another Mark Zuckerberg, much older, uglier guy. He lives somewhere in California as well.
Yeah, okay.
He'll let me be his friend.
Oh, I thought you were going to block him.
No.
Oh.
No, he's also got a page, Zuckerberg. But only 483 people like it.
So, yeah.
Okay. And his last post was, "Baby cuddles are the best."
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with his new baby.
Oh. I mean, I don't care how this sounds. I'm just going to say it. We as humans aren't conditioned to admire someone that looks like Mark Zuckerberg.
No.
We're just not. But no, because of this world that we've made that's so sick and twisted, he has this elevated position. But look at that guy. He inspires nothing.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg fans, 6,000 members. In the world, of all the people on Facebook, you can get 6,000 members?
Okay. Yeah, I have to be honest. I get it, Ben.
Seriously, as humans, we don't look at that guy and go, no.
And I think there's not a woman
in the world who, if he weren't
Mark Zuckerberg,
they would give him a second glance in the street.
At least Larry King had like a snappy thing about him and he had the suspenders. This looks like Larry King literally got drunk one night and kind of maybe hit a four.
Do you know I would rather go for Larry King before Mark Zuckerberg?
No.
I think you're right.
Larry King, see ya?
Ooh,
he is 1,005 years old.
He probably has.
We were talking about
compared to Mark Zuckerberg?
No, we were talking about the trauma of having to sleep with old men.
But he probably has pajama suspenders. I would far rather be enticed by those.
Exactly, and he would join you with some snappy banter.
Guys, Larry King is a lizard. Come on.
And he's still above Zuckerberg. This is my whole point, Mavs.
Yeah.
Look, we're all thinking it.
I think we'd be, there are more people who agree with me.
All right, everybody, let's get cracking here. We've got things to do, people to see, places to go, and Ben is ready with the sport. It's time we check in on that. Ben, what do you have for us this fine morning?
Well, Bibiana Steinhaus, Gareth, she is set to become the first ever female referee in top flight European football.
I like
Bibiana
her name.
Steinhaus.
This is quite a thing, right?
That sounds like a kind of Amstel you'd get if you go to a German market. Yeah,
it's like a light beer is called.
Two Bibiana Steinhaus, please.
Yep, that's it.
So she's on the refereeing group for the season in the Bundesliga, but she hasn't had a game yet. And the Bundesliga are trying to stay all hush-hush about this because they can only officially confirm this from Thursday for a Sunday match. But can you imagine what a thing this would be? Because footballers are trash, right? They're just, they're mostly scummy, like just dodgy people. And if you give a decision against them, they will shout at you. They will try and intimidate you. Mm-hmm. Now you've got a woman who is willfully getting into this horrible fray of sport. I mean, I completely admire Bibiana. I wish her nothing but the best. And maybe this is actually what could clean football up. Women refs.
Oh, she's going to have a tough time, Ben. We all know
yes,
this.
Yes, I know. First up, she must have mace. This is the first thing she must have. You know, like those refs have that shaving cream they put on the line where players can't go behind on a free kick? She must have that and mace.
Crowds also start throwing bottles of stuff at referees?
It can get rough.
Yeah.
It can get rough. In South America, they literally run in the field and they can murder them. But let's not go too negative here. I think this is a good move. Look, it's just like she's going to be a ref just like anyone else, right? No one's going to say, she can't keep up with the play. Trust me, she's fitter than anyone. She'll pretty much do this. It'll be no problem. And football referees, it's not like a rugby ref where it's very, very technical. The guy falls down, is it legal or not? It's easy to referee a football match. The offsides, the linesmen put their flags up. It's not hard. I'm not discrediting Bibiana's talents here. I just think that this is a positive move. I'm interested to see how the players react to this. Because if they start getting angry towards a woman, that's gender-based violence, right? Can't have that in this world.
Good point.
So maybe Bibiana is the first of many. And I applaud that. I really do. Speaking of a noble woman, Stacey Lewis. Now, you won't know who she is, but she's a golfer. And she's never won anything big. And this last week, well, she is a resident of Houston. So she said, halfway through the tournament, if I win this tournament, I'll donate all my prize money to the relief fund.
Mm.
Now, she's never won, right? You think she wants to savor this first victory? And she won. She did it.
Wow.
Well, she said Jesus did it, but I mean, let's move past that. So she won £150,000, essentially, which is then was matched by one of her sponsors. So she donated just over 5 million rand to the flood victims of Storm Harvey. It's absolutely incredible. Showing that sports people aren't all dicks.
I would have found every excuse to keep that money. She's never won anything before, and then she does win and she has to give it all away.
Well, look, she's a decent player. She's been in the Solheim Cup. She's had a few runner-ups, so she makes money. Let's be honest. Right. She is a decent professional golfer. But see, that first win, you want to get that first check and you want to do something really good with it. Well, she's done something really, really good with it, and that she's given it all away. Justin Thomas won the Dell Championship. He beat Jordan Spieth. And this guy, he is now player of the year. It kind of has to be said. If he wins anything more, or if he goes on to win the FedEx Cup, that's done and dusted. Because he won his first major. He was the red hot player at the start of the season. He shot a 59. He was the youngest player to ever shoot 59 on the PGA Tour. And now he's got the Dell Championship to go with his PGA title, which he won recently. And he really is becoming quite the force. He was always known as Jordan Spieth's buddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that the press horribly constantly go on with. But here he is. He is winning tournaments. He's closing them out. And he's a real force in the world of golf right now. In the tennis, well, no big surprises in the men's draw or the women's draw. Pliskova's gone through to the quarterfinals. She'll take on Coco Vandeweghe. And there's still all the big seeds still involved. And in the men's draw, Nadal had no issues yesterday. So he goes through to play Rublev. And then Federer will take on Del Potro. So we could have a Federer-Nadal semi-final. And with no Djokovic or Murray, that will pretty much be the big talking point. Sam Querrey will take on Kevin Anderson. SA's big talent, big chance there. The quarterfinals is pretty much his pinnacle. Can he make it to a semi, though? Well, everyone, including Gareth, will be watching out for that one.
Yes, of course.
And then Karina Buster and Schwartzman will be the bottom of the men's draw there. In cricket news, Australia in Bangladesh right now. We all know they lost the first test last week. And they're in, stay in a much better position this time around in the second test. They've currently got Bangladesh at 278 for 7. Nathan Lyon's taking all the wickets there. He's got 6 for 81 currently. Mm-hmm. But an off-the-field story is that a rock burst through the Australian team bus and broke a window while they're going back to the hotel.
Well, that just shows God wants them dead.
Well, it just shows that Bangladeshi cricket fans can't behave. So Australia have pulled out of recent tours to Bangladesh. A lot of people don't want to go to Bangladesh because it's like touring an armpit, really. You don't really want to go there. You're on a high road to nothing. You're in conditions that don't favour you. The Bangladeshis are an emerging force in cricket, finally, which is nice for cricket, but it's not a great place. Chittagong is where they currently are.
Yeah.
And you essentially play a cricket match and then you go back to the hotel where maybe a light beer and a wank is about all you got to look forward to. Because let's be honest, these guys aren't allowed to go into public. They will get mobbed.
And there's nothing to do if they did go out in public anyway.
Exactly. That's pretty much it for the sport. Anthony Joshua, who is the world heavyweight champion, finally gets to have a title fight because that's Klitschko was just too old. He was like, screw it. I'm just hanging out with my young wife. I'll do this something else. So Kubrat Pulev.
What?
Kubrat Pulev.
How dare you? Don't you say that to me.
That will be Joshua's next opponent, 20th of October. And it's good because it'll be real boxing again, unlike that Mayweather-McGregor bromance. Gareth, that is pretty much it for the sport for this Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Ben. Let's turn our attentions now to Anthea Gardner and see what's going on in the world of money. And just yesterday, we caught up with Anthea nicely about all things to do with Stella Capital, Inter Alia, and a bunch of other things. So let's find out for this morning what we need to know and how the stock market performed yesterday, too. You know, you need to catch up on these things. Otherwise, nothing will make sense.
Oh, this is my favorite.
All right, Anthea, good morning.
Good morning. So I've got some good news on the rand. It's strengthened to below 13 to the US dollar, but I'm afraid, of course, as you know, it had a negative impact on our rand hedge stocks, and our all-share index was down about a third of a percent. Golds are doing well. Of course, gold is rallying because of concerns over North Korea's missile testing that happened on the weekend. So everyone's still worried there. Trade volumes very low again yesterday, but that's because it was Labor Day weekend in the US. Of course, we didn't have them coming in and supporting the market at the end. In fact, I think just generally not a particularly busy day. We had a couple of companies in the spotlight. Firstly, EOH. They put out a trading statement. Headline earnings per share is expected to be between 10 and 20%, which sounds pretty decent, but actually the trend is down. They're a company that's known for being able to print earnings growth in excess of 20%. And at the midpoint of their guidance, the shares trading at a 12-month, 11.5x multiple, price earnings multiple, which looks relatively cheap. Their 5-year average is about 22x. And I'm making it sound like a bit of a slam dunk, but actually, one of the things about EOH is that historically they're quite an acquisitive company and they've been able to buy companies for relatively cheap, which leads to earnings accretion. Yeah. And I think there's an assumption or there's some speculation that they might be out of runway, basically, and organic growth is just not where it should be. And then, of course, don't forget, they've also got this bribery scandal hanging over their head. And even though they've denied it, I think it makes investors very nervous. I think you know that it is a share we have historically, we've owned in the past. And I do like the company, but at the moment it does seem like there are a couple of hurdles they need to overcome.
All right.
And then PPC is back in the news. They, in the last couple of weeks, they've been talking about this merger with AfriSam, and they've been back and forth. It's been, excuse me, it's been a bit of a drama.
You're really getting emotional about it, Anthea.
It's PPC after all. And yesterday, Fairfax Africa Investment Limited, which is a subsidiary of the Toronto-listed Fairfax Financial Holdings, such a tongue twister, they made a conditional partial offer to acquire ordinary shares of PPC at R5.75. The share was trading at about R5.45 when the news broke. And you'd think the share would be kept at R5.75 because obviously if you own shares and Fairfax are saying they'll buy them from you at R5.75, you're certainly not going to pay 576, right? You're not going to get all your money back.
Yeah.
But actually, the share traded all the way up to 593 yesterday. Not very logical. And the only explanation is that the market is expecting a potential bidding war. So they're saying, this is not the end of it. We think other people will come in. want to buy PPC and will pay, well, they'll have to pay up, right? They don't really have a choice. I mean, it's all speculation. It's always fun to watch these things. And then, yeah, there's a lot of excitement today about this second quarter GDP number. I mean, everyone's expecting a fairly positive percentage growth. Granted, we are off a low base, so it should be positive. It'll be nice. It'll take us, technically take us out of recession. I don't know what else to say about it, quite frankly. I think, you know, we're a long way from being a high growth, low unemployment economy. So we still got a way to go, even if the number is positive.
All right. Well, that's we'll take any good news we can at this stage.
Sure. And then we've got the MPC coming up in a week and a half's time. So that would be interesting as well. Hopefully they'll give us a rate cut. Although, here's the thing. If we do get a positive GDP number, then they're less likely to decrease rates because they would decrease rates because inflation is in check and growth is weak. So we've got inflation in check, but if we have some growth, maybe they won't cut.
All right. Well,
it's always such a balancing act with the economy.
It swings and roundabouts.
Indeed.
Just when you think you've got good news, then something like that happens.
Okay. Right. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Anthea. There we go. There's a look at what's going on in the markets. Let's turn our attention now to Sia Sangweni, who's got some things to tell us to make our day a little brighter.
Yebo. So this is actually all about giving you tips to really make your day brighter. So here are top five science-backed ways to feel happier.
All right. I'm all in.
We're all down.
Yeah.
Ways to feel happier, everybody.
Oh, yeah. We do have tough times. So scientifically, this is how you can actually feel better. We do know and we've spoken actually on the show about how looking out at a garden makes you feel better.
Yep.
We don't all have the luxury of like this great sprawling garden, but there is some sort of flower power that you can incorporate into a room. So just by adding flowers into a room, that can actually brighten up your mood. So floral fixture may actually reduce feelings of pain and anxiety while also boosting positive emotions.
So in other words, even if you have to put fake flowers in a pot,
a little vase situation in front of you.
Right.
Yeah, boy.
Do it.
So one study shows that looking at flowers first thing in the morning leads to increased happiness and energy and decreased anxiety. So not only that, also just being surrounded by flowers can also positively affect your 9-to-5. So as you work...
Oh, well, that makes sense then if you give them to sick people in hospitals.
It's a good thing. So particularly when you are working or around the office, it's shown that flowers can actually boost your creativity and make workspaces feel more pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
I love that.
Number...
And because we're going into spring, this is going to work to our advantage. Right now.
Exactly. So number two on how to scientifically make yourself feel happy, this is something we are doing right here at Cliff Central. It's wearing yellow. So we're actually surrounded by a lot of yellow, but yellow is actually a good thing. So it's the whole power of the yellow hue. Now, research shows that happy people tend to associate their mood with the cheerful color. And some people also just think it's because, you know, the color of the sun, but yellow is also just the color of optimism. So it's that association that's also good for us.
Who's wearing any yellow today? Nobody.
I'll never. Nope. Also,
no yellow.
We're surrounded by yellow. It's good enough, yeah.
All right.
Number three, the third way to scientifically make yourself feel better, it's to complain, but in the right way. So we all often complain a lot, but we can just twist it around to actually make ourselves feel better. So when you complain effectively, it can actually benefit our mental health. So that actually means when you voice a concern, it can lead to results, which in turn lead to a better mood and self-esteem and feeling more empowered. So basically, in other words, complaining done right involves identifying a problem and taking positive action to address it. So not just getting stuck in the complaint itself, but rather just voicing it out
leads
to a solution.
Because we like to problem solve. Yeah, and when we manage to solve a problem or at least talk our way through a problem, we feel better about ourselves.
Look at that. No. It's all just about perspective.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
Now, these are my last two favorites. The fourth way to make yourself scientifically feel better is to save money. Anthea would vouch for this. Okay. But building up this whole, you know, just nice nest egg of cash, it is an important part of a happy life. It's about being found financially secure. So a survey found that the more people saved, the happier they tended to be. And this just all is associated with the feelings of security, well-being, and control. But lastly, on that note as well, if you spend wisely, it can also make you feel better. I totally go with this. A study suggests that indulging in the occasional shopping trip can actually reduce sadness by making us feel more in control, or just because it's superficial. Beautiful. And it's amazing.
All right, so there we go. You've got, it's basically contradictory advice from Sia.
No, you not contradictory. Yes. You work hand in hand with these things.
You're talking against yourself.
Save a lot and spend a little.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
It.
Save a lot and spend a lot is what you said.
No, not a lot, a little.
Are you sure?
The top five scientific ways to make yourself feel better today.
Beautiful.
Take it or leave it. Baby, take it or leave it. But I know you won't leave it, because I know that you need it.
This is CliffCentral.com.